Good morning again, everybody. For those of you who haven't been with us in the past, I'm John McGimsey, a pastor here at Grace, and what we've been doing for the last year or so is walking slowly through the book of Mark, a series we've called Encountering Jesus, and the reason for that is because we constantly run into this character who refuses to let us sit on the fence. Jesus is a man who you cannot engage with without truly being forced to reconcile. You know, is this truly the Son of God? Are his claims real? Are his miracles real, or is he just a loony, really? There are two sides of the fence. It's very hard to sit on that fence. And especially as Kiwis, we're fence sitters, right? We are professional fence sitters. This is good for us. Which side will we go on? Anyway, today we're going to encounter Jesus, who is a compassionate shepherd. We're going to see him in his compassionate nature. We're also going to see him operating as a shepherd. Now, what we're going to do, just a little bit of logistical stuff, is we're going to spend two weeks in the broader text. So we're going to look at verse 33 to 56, and we're going to spend 2 weeks in there. So that's what, if you're wondering what's happening next week, that's what's happening. As we go, let's pray as we begin. Lord, how refreshing it is to again reflect on your generosity. Lord, you have been generous to us in so many ways. Lord, we come as those who, with our hands empty of things to give you, receive everything that is good and glorious and which truly satisfies us. Lord, help us today to reflect on the calling we have to serve in your kingdom, to live sacrificial lives for others. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to enter into the tension that the disciples experience between rest and ministry, and that we would be guided by your Holy Spirit. We just pray, Lord, that your word would nourish us, that your Spirit would bring insight into areas of our heart which we have grown cold to or misunderstood. And that, Lord, out of all these things, that you would be glorified as we come to a greater and greater appreciation of who you are and what you've done for us. Lord, these lives are so long, yet they are so short. We just ask that you would help us to use them well as we wait for the fulfillment of our hope, the renewal of all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In life, there is often a tension between rest and ministry. In life, there is often a tension between rest and ministry. You know your week has been big, you're grumpy, you're tired, you're fatigued. You know you need to recharge, refresh, reset. You know you need to sleep. You know you need to stop. You know you need to slump into that big old armchair, and tonight is the night. Rest awaits. The promised rest awaits. Awaken to this idea of promised rest. You drag yourself through the late afternoon on Friday, preparing for an evening of restfulness. You hope, and it motivates you. You're nearly there. And then it happens. And then it happens. You get to your evening of promised rest, and the kids, the children, your teenagers, they want to talk. They want to muscle through some ideas they're interacting with at school. Your neighbor rings and asks for some help. You hear about an opportunity to serve on the church Facebook wall, it pings up on your notification feed. A friend rings, needing someone to talk to. The tension between rest and ministry. In life, there is often a very tangible, very experiential tension between rest and ministry. How do we handle this tension? What do we do with it? That's the question that I want to ask today. What do we do with this tension? And I want to let Christ's example and the disciples' example, I want to let that inform us of how we should handle this tension. And I want us to go away today being prepared to let compassion compel us to delay rest. I want us to go away today being prepared to let compassion compel us to delay rest. Now, I need to be very clear here that rest should never be avoided. It should never be neglected. But at times, we often are called by Christ to delay it in order to minister to others. Jesus is saying, I know this is important, and I know you need it, but I want you to pause it for a time in order to serve another person. In this text today, again, we see this modeled by Christ so clearly. So clearly. And we see it even in the way that Christ urges his disciples to follow the model. He says, do this. Watch me. Do what I'm doing. He is discipling them in his sacrificial service of others. I want to see two things today. The first is just this, that Jesus is eager for us to rest. And he is eager for us to rest even from the activity of ministry, even from the activity of serving one another, even from the activity of serving Christ in our community. He is eager for us to rest. We see this so clearly in Mark chapter 6, verse 30 to 32. Jesus is eager for his disciples to rest. The disciples in these verses have just returned from their first independent ministry opportunity. Jesus sent them out. He said, you've been with me, now you're going. Two by two, go and minister in my name, proclaim Jesus, heal people, and exorcise these demons. They return. And in verse 30, they tell him all that they had done and taught. It's a ministry report. Jesus, this is what was happening. This is what we did. This is how we taught. This is what happened. This is how people responded. Now Jesus hears this report. He soaks it all in. He looks at his disciples who are sharing the report with him, and he immediately diagnoses exhaustion. See, ministry has taken its toll physically and spiritually. Why? For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. They had no leisure even to eat. See, he's saying two things there. He's saying they had no room for leisure. They didn't have time for watching the cricket or, you know, sitting down and playing a game of chess with one another. They had no time for leisure. But he's saying they had so little time for these things that they didn't have time to eat. They didn't have time to eat. Jesus looks at his disciples, and you need to picture them as sort of a mess. They're so tired. They're so exhausted. They had no leisure even to eat. And the first thing, and the notable thing here that is so encouraging, is to see that Jesus immediately identifies that they need to rest. They need to rest. Now, Jesus here is doing something primarily. He's acknowledging that as humans, they need to rest. Now, this is something we know, don't we? We're good at this. We know that as humans, we need to rest. On a daily basis, we recognize just how important this need is to us. Just imagine your house, wherever you live. Now imagine it without beds. Isn't that interesting? Our houses are filled to the brim with beds. Why? Because we need to rest. we need to sleep. That's what our bedrooms are for, our schedules. We acknowledge it in our houses. We also acknowledge it in our schedules. Every single one of us, apart from those who are unfortunately find it difficult to sleep, every single one of us has a block of time in the evening which we don't schedule something in. So that time's for sleep. Every day, you're not coming into my house at 2 a.m. at sleep time. If only you could apply that to your kids, right? We know it by our houses. We know it by our schedules. We especially know it by our tiredness and grumpiness. When we don't rest well, we get grumpy. God himself also recognizes our need for rest. He provides for us in creation natural seasons which promote rest. He makes the day made of light and dark. He gives us this opportunity to sleep in the dark. He makes it right for us. He models the rest pattern for us in creation. He says 6 days work and then the seventh day is there for rest. Later on, he commands his people to follow this pattern, saying the Sabbath is for your rest. It is for you. We acknowledge our need for rest. God acknowledges our need for rest. We are people in need of rest, living in a world that naturally provides opportunity for us to rest. Should we take it? Should we enjoy it? Should we give ourselves to it? I think with this picture in mind, we ignore that reality that we need rest to our own detriment. Jesus acknowledges as well that we need rest, but what is encouraging for many of us here is to see that Jesus recognizes not just that the apostles need rest, but they need rest even from ministry. They need rest even after ministering to others. They come in and they're tired. They have been ministering to others. They are exhausted. And he says, come away with me. Come away and have rest. What an encouragement for us, those of us who are tired, who have been ministering to others. Be encouraged. Jesus acknowledges your need for rest. You know, each and every one of us is called to serve, called to love one another, called to live sacrificial lives of ministry for Jesus' sake. But Jesus isn't unaware of the cost that takes on this. After diagnosing their exhaustion and out of compassion for them, Jesus invites them to come away with him and find a place of rest. Listen to verse 31. Listen to verse 31. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples, his apostles who have gone out. He says, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. Isn't it beautiful to see the heart of Jesus Christ the shepherd inviting his disciples to come and rest a while? In Matthew 11:28, Jesus invites us to find the true an ultimate sense of rest in him. He says, come to me, all you who labor and who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus here provides, to complement this ultimate eternal rest in him, a temporal spiritual rest that his disciples are welcome to have. He invites his disciples to enjoy a time for spiritual restoration and physical rejuvenation. Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. Doesn't that invitation sound so attractive? Doesn't that invitation sound so gracious from our Lord Jesus Christ? He's not standing behind the disciples saying, you have done some, I want you to do more. I'm going to whip you on the back and move you forward. I'm going to motivate you out into this world of people with many, many needs. No! He says, you have had enough. You're tired. You're exhausted. Come with me and have a time of rest, a season of rest. This short sentence of Christ is full, it is extraordinarily gracious, and it is genuinely worth unpacking the wisdom of it. What is Jesus here truly offering his disciples? The first thing he offers them is to come away. He says, come away. The reality is that the reality that Jesus knows is that often to have rest, you need to leave the people and place where you have been ministering. Geographically, emotionally, he knows that to get a true restfulness means leaving. Come away. He's unashamed about this. He's unashamed to say it to the disciples. Come away. It's amazing, really, in the freedom that it gives us, because Jesus here warrants the, or gives us the freedom to say, to truly rest, I must leave. I must go. I must come away with Christ. He says, by yourselves. Come away by yourselves. You know, rest is something we can do in a group. The important thing that we see here, though, is that this group that he is inviting them to come away with, they won't necessarily be ministering to. They are free to enjoy. There are some people we can holiday with and rest with. There are others who it would be unwise to do so with. He says, come away by yourselves to a desolate place. It's a location. What's the place like where he is taking them to? Desolate. It's quiet. There is nothing there. Now that might seem like your worst nightmare. Nothing there, you know. There's no newspapers. There's no TV. There's no Instagram. There's no Snapchat. This is a quiet place. Jesus is inviting us to a place without Wi-Fi. He is inviting us to a place outside of the context we normally have, to a desolate place. And he says this at the end. Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. And rest a while. Note what he says there. He doesn't say rest. He doesn't stop with rest, does he? Come away by yourselves and to a desolate place and rest. What does he say? He says, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. Now, why would Jesus say something like that? Because rest is a purposeful recharging. It is a purposeful recharging. Jesus has zero ambition for his disciples to go away into a desolate place and be there forever. He has zero desire for them to be in the desolate place away from the crowds for a permanent period of time. He says, come and rest for a while so that you can go back and so that you can minister out of your freshness, so that you can minister to their needs after resting for a while. You know, Kiwis, one of our key ambitions in this life is retirement, right? The beloved promised retirement, where we can finally quit our job, where we can finally hang our boots up, and where we can finally have this state of perpetual rest as we spend the kids' inheritance and drink coffees and go on our boats and tours and all these things. Rest. The promised eternal rest of retirement. I think Jesus confronts this. I think Jesus confronts this whole model. He is big time on rest. He is so strong on rest. But he is not saying go and get yourselves in a desolate place and stay there forever. He's saying recharge for the benefit of the ministry that you have in front of you. So we need to strip that Kiwi ambition out of our lives and say that is not what Christ has called us to do. He is not calling us to rest, yet he is calling us to rest a while. The last thing that we see is that this invitation to rest is with Jesus. He is going with them. Jesus is there. He is in the place of rest with them. He's not saying here, I've brought you a ticket to this desolate place. Just hurry along. I'll continue on with the ministry. He says, I'm coming with you to this place. See, true spiritual rest is found in Christ, just as temporal rest is found in Christ too. I know as much as anyone the temptation to enjoy rest by checking out of the relationship with Christ and just saying, oh, flag it. I just will do anything. Rest the body. Jesus says, I'll be with you there. True rest is with Christ. Nourish yourselves spiritually as you engage with rest. Ministry to others for each and every one of us is our calling in Christ, yet we cannot ignore the toll that it takes on us. Jesus certainly doesn't. He is eager for us to have rest. He recognizes our need and he calls us to come away. And I think for many of us, we would be wise to heed Christ's words, come away with me for a while to a desolate place and rest. The apostles, understandably, hear this and go. There is zero indication of resistance. Does that surprise you? You don't hear of Peter saying, oh, no way, Jesus, we're good, you know? Like, you'd expect to see that sort of Peter sort of ambition in this, but even he says nothing. They set off like settlers sailing to this new land of promise, full of hope, excitement, and expectation. They get in the boat, they sail. There is one problem. There is one problem. As they sail, slow journey, admittedly, as they sail, the crowd gathers in waiting for them. When they get there, the crowd has already gathered. A massive crowd. A huge crowd. We're talking like Ed Sheeran kind of crowd. This is a big crowd. Far from finding this secluded place, they find a people gathered ready to be ministered to by Jesus Christ and them. Worse than that, Jesus now expects them to minister to their needs. Jesus expects them to minister to their needs. You can imagine the disciples, the apostles in this situation say, what? Are you joking me? Like, is this actually happening right now? We've gone off on this beautiful invitation and we've arrived and there's a crowd bigger than ever and Jesus is saying, minister to them. Minister to them. Why would Jesus let this happen? Why would this be part of this beautiful invitation that we have? And that is where we see the second point that I want to see today. And that is that Jesus calls us to delay rest for compassion's sake. I really want that to, if there's one thing I want to sink in from today, it's this. That Jesus at times will expect us to delay rest for compassion's sake. At times, not always, at times, he will expect us to delay rest for compassion's sake. Jesus himself, upon seeing this crowd, was willing to delay rest himself. See, we easily forget that Jesus was one of the people expecting rest or hoping for rest. Immediately after he serves the crowd, he sends the disciples away in verse 45 to 46. Why? Because he himself needed a time of rest. He escapes and he goes to pray with his Father. Jesus showed he needed rest just as much as anybody, but he is willing to delay his own rest for the good of the crowd. And now here he expects the disciples to do the same thing, to follow his example, to delay the promised rest in order to serve the crowd. Now, why would Jesus ask them to do that? Why would Jesus do that himself? What would make a man who is tired and fatigued get out of the boat, see the crowd, and say, you know what? They need me to be here. What is it? Where in the passage do we see the answer? Verse 34. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them. He saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them. He is moved by a deep, gut-level love and pity. He doesn't see a problem, a hindrance, an issue, a preventative. He sees a people and he sees that they need to be served. And so he has love for them. He has compassion for them. Why? Because they are like sheep without a shepherd. He can see their true spiritual, their true physical condition. They are like sheep without a shepherd. Now this phrase is really important. Sheep without a shepherd. If you're thinking, gee, that sounds a little bit echoey, I've heard that before somewhere, that's right. You have. This is a phrase that is commonly used through the Bible, both negatively and positively. Anywhere in the context where you're talking about leadership of God's people, we often see this phrase, sheep without a shepherd. In Numbers 27:17, Moses has just been told, you will not be the man who takes the people into the land. And so he pleads with God. He leans into this relationship with God and he says, who will you get then? Who will you appoint to take the people into the land? See, Moses knows that without a leader, they will go astray, that they will fall short. Eventually, the Lord appoints Joshua. Eventually, the Lord appoints Joshua. The reason for this asking of Moses, he says himself, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep without a shepherd. See, he wants them to have leadership. He wants them to be in the right place, blessed by the Lord under a good leader. In Ezekiel 34, we have the opposite. We have a rebuke of the shepherds of Israel. He is not holding back on the rebuke of these shepherds. They have neglected the sheep spiritually and physically, especially the weak, leaving them to scatter all over the place. They're hurt, they're malnourished, they're being beaten up by the other sheep. And this is where we see an example of what a people look like to have a sheep, to be sheep without a shepherd. Now Jesus here, as he steps off the boat, as he sees the crowd of people, sees that they are a true manifestation of what it looks like to be a sheep without a shepherd. They are leaderless. And they are in need. And here we see just how perfectly Jesus fulfills the promises of Psalm 23 about the true shepherd. Jesus himself says this in John 10. He is the true shepherd. Why do we see this? Because he first refuses to mistreat the sheep. The disciples' temptation, mistreat the sheep, even if it was by neglect. Jesus shows just how much he loves and is eager to serve the sheep. As a shepherd, Jesus cares about our physical and spiritual condition. He is our shepherd. He is compelled not by a loveless duty, but by a compassion towards us to minister to our needs. And as Jesus shows this compassion, he welcomes the disciples into this ministry. And you can just imagine them thinking, well, that's wonderful. Thanks for that. Jesus, I'm really happy that we've got this crowd to minister to now. This is where we really begin to see the tension that the disciples are experiencing. The disciples don't yet have the compassion which Christ has. It was really interesting this week reading a prayer book by a man called Paul Miller. It's a book called A Praying Life, and he was once interacting with the idea of how he can grow as a Christian. And he asked his father, what is an area that I can grow in? And his father said to him, well, you can grow in a genuine love for the lost. And this was a man who had served in ministry. He had grown a mission organization from being a single missionary organization to being a missionary organization which had, I think, up to 90 missionaries in that organization. And his father said to him, you can pray to have a genuine heart for the lost. And so offended, most likely, he prayed, and the Lord revealed to him a true lack of love for the lost, even though he was actively in full-time ministry. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? The disciples in full-time ministry have a dispassionate heart for the very people they are serving. They have a zero compassion heart. And Jesus welcomes them into this ministry, and as he does so, reveals their heart to them. Jesus responds to their need by teaching. And after a while, the disciples come to Jesus and they say this in verse 35. This is a desolate place. Hey, isn't that interesting? This is a desolate place. We're here. Remember what he said? Come with me to a desolate place. This is the desolate place. The hour is now late. Send them away into the surrounding countryside and villages to buy themselves something to eat. They are ruining our desolate place, Jesus. The people, they're trampling on this beautiful paradise that you have promised. Send them away. What does Jesus say to them? He says, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. You want their tummies to be full so that they're satisfied? You feed them. Man, you give them something to eat. Now we really start to see the tension ramp up. Now we really start to see the true heart of the disciples, the true heart of Jesus. They say sarcastically, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? You know, translation, shall we spend half a year's wages going to buy them bread? Should we do that? Remember, Jesus, you told us to leave without our money bags. And now you're saying, go and give them something to eat. Sarcastic to Jesus. You know, here is such a beautiful picture of a beautifully ugly picture of the disciples' heart. The disciples look at the crowd, they're grumpy, they're dispassionate, they're cynical, they're hyper-practical. They're annoyed at Jesus, they're fatigued, they're uncaring, and they have no compassion. They have no compassion. How many of us have found ourselves feeling that compassionlessness? I don't even know if that's a word. How many of us have felt that freedom, that compassion escaping us when we're tired? What would you say? What would you say in that situation if Jesus said to you, give them something to eat? Spend half a year's wages on it. How many of us have felt the love for people dissipate when we need rest? The one thing we realize in that situation is that we haven't got genuine compassion for people. We have a pseudo-compassion, which is only willing to be in play when we're feeling good. Is that true compassion, or is that something else? That is a convenience love. Anyway. Contrast that with the humanity of Christ. He is tired, he is equally fatigued, and he is still compassionate. He still cares. Man, the perfect humanity of Christ on display in perfect contrast to the weak humanity of the disciples. And how many of us could put ourselves in the disciples' shoes and say, yeah, that's me. That is so me with my convenience compassion. How good is the gospel? How good is Christ? How humbling is the gospel? The gospel gives you and I the freedom to say, I am at one with the disciples and the apostles because my compassion is as shallow as the paddling pool in my backyard. I have a convenience compassion. My response is typically disciple-like. But the gospel does more. The gospel says more. It says to you, every one of you who acknowledges that in Christ, His perfect humanity is credited to your account. So that as God gazes at you as His children, He sees the perfect compassion of Christ for everybody else. And He says, that is how I see you. If that does not humble you, then you are immune to the gospel. We are so far from being able to justify ourselves before God by our good works. We are truly reliant on Christ and His righteousness to stand before a God who demands perfection. And in Christ we have that perfection. Jesus welcomes the disciples into ministry and calls them to delay rest. He welcomes His disciples to let compassion compel them to delay rest. Just as Jesus welcomes us at times to let compassion compel us to delay rest. Will you feed these scattered sheep just as the disciples were called to feed even in their season of fatigue? I want to pick up just quickly on three or four dangerous alternatives. See, I've said let compassion compel you to delay rest. Here are some dangerous alternatives which we are all susceptible to. Don't let foolishness compel you to delay rest. Don't be a fool. If you think you don't need rest, you are a fool. You are working against your design from the Creator Himself. Don't let a lack of organization compel you to delay rest. Use your time well. Use your time well. Don't let insecurity or fear compel you to delay rest. You know, I have to go out there and prove to myself, to my mum, to my friends, to everyone else that I'm someone of value. That's why I'm out here ministering. Don't you see? It's not compassion. That's insecurity. That's fear. Don't let idolatrous ambition compel you to delay rest. Don't let your own desires for your own kingdom compel you to delay rest. And last of all, don't let works righteousness compel you to delay rest. When you are in ministry, when you are ministering to others, it is not because you are justified by your works, it is because you are responding to grace. Don't let works righteousness compel you to delay rest. Many of us need to hear and heed Jethro's advice to Moses in Exodus 18. I love this little passage. Jethro, this is Moses' father-in-law. He's looking at Moses, who is operating in ministry as a judge in Exodus 18. He looks at him, he watches him for a day, and after a day he says to Moses, "What are you doing?" Love that question. Moses, what are you doing? Working from morning till evening, doing it all yourself, carrying it all on your shoulders. Moses answered, "The Lord's work." Ha ha! I'm doing the Lord's work. Dawn till dusk. This is good. Behind the answer, of course, there's a, they need me. I am indispensable. No one else can do this work. Jethro, though, he doesn't buy it. He's been around the block. You know, he's an older man probably. He's seen this pattern repeat itself before. And he says to Moses this simple thing. He says, what you are doing is not good. What you are doing is not good. But wait a minute, this is the Lord's work. He says, what you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out. For the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. Don't be a fool, Moses. You need to rest. To rest, you need to take that idol out of your heart and you need to share the load with other people. We need to heed Jethro's advice to truly rest. We're not called to wear ourselves out even for ministry's sake. You are not able to do it alone. Beware of the dangerous alternatives. Let compassion compel you to delay rest. I want to talk about two quick ways that this applies. The first is our daily reality. Seasonally at least, you might be called to delay rest, even this afternoon, even today, for the benefit of serving others, for an evening out, for answering the phone call, for opening your home. Be motivated by compassion in that season and trust that Christ will provide a season of rest for you. This also applies to our life as a whole. Jesus calls us to delay the ultimate rest that we pine for. See, we are people who want to rest. It's ingrained in us so deeply. But Jesus says, delay that desire for ultimate rest by living sacrificial lives, ministering to one another, motivated by a heart of compassion for people. Look forward to the day when you will have perfect rest, when the new creations, the new heavens and the new earth are put in place. And until that day, serve and minister to those around you. We are workers. We have a creation mandate that says, work. Go and bring order to chaos. Do what you have been called to do. We are people who have been called to work for the good of the kingdom too, as we wait for the day of ultimate rest. For many of us, this is going to require a heart, Holy Spirit change. It is going to require for us that the Lord gives us a new sense of compassion for the people. See, selfishness will never motivate us, but sacrificial love will give us a genuine desire to serve people in Christ's strength. In life, there is often a tension between rest and ministry, and I long for myself, I long for you as we go away to be prepared to let compassion compel us to delay rest. Rest should never be avoided or neglected, but it should be paused if Christ is calling you to minister in His name for that time. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, your compassionate heart is on display. And the disciples' discompassionate heart is on display. So easily we see ourselves in the apostles and the disciples. We feel like we have a convenience compassion, a compassion that is available except ... Thank you for the sweetness of the gospel of grace, the great exchange, the thing that gives us hope, Christ's righteousness credited to our account. Thank you for Forgive us, Lord, if we we're working so hard that we have no time to minister to others. Forgive us, Lord, if we're motivated by idols and our own kingdom, even as we seek to minister to others. Lord, give us a genuine heart of compassion for people. We need those eyes to see that the crowds around us are far from inconveniences, are far from people who can just sort themselves out, but that they are real people with physical and spiritual needs. Help us to have a heart like yours, Jesus Christ. Help us to minister to others sacrificially out of compassion as we wait for the final rest that we are to enjoy in you. It is our hope in our fatigue. It is our hope in our tiredness. It is our hope in all things, and without it, we are the people who are most to be pitied. We look forward to that day, Lord, and we thank you for making it sure in your own resurrection. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.